faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. We have more breaking news today than one person could get to in the slot that has been allotted to us, but we're going to be joined today by Leo Holman at the 15-minute mark, and then we'll be joined by former Pfizer employee Karen Kingston and a first-time guest at the 129 mark. We're going to talk with Leo about the Great Reset and them, the war on cash, the war on your car, and now the war on meat. And again, these guys said they were going to do this. They talked about all of this. Digital currency, that's the war on cash. The war on meat. They openly said that in one of their World Economic Forum videos last year, that we wouldn't be eating meat. They now have the war on fossil fuels, which means the war on your car. We'll get to Leo for a few minutes with that. And then Karen Kingston and Cammie, Cammie will be a new guest, will talk about this idea of hacking your DNA. Literally, these guys, it's like something out of Frankenstein. They want to hack your DNA, and they openly admit it on video. We'll play the clips for you. Hacking your DNA and making you something different and being able to control people. We'll, again, get to that today. Of course, first up is several news stories breaking today. One of them is over the weekend, I had the honor of sitting at the news desk and anchoring as I sent a cameraman to Wisconsin, and we filmed and distributed out the speech on our network, on my network, and Lindell TV, of Representative Tim Ramtham announcing he's running for governor of Wisconsin. So we had a cameraman there, and I anchored it from the news desk, and we carried that. General Michael Flynn also called in to speak about him, and Mike Lindell was there in person speaking for about an hour. And so it was about a 3+ hour broadcast, and I was shocked. I was sitting here listening to the speech and of Tim Ramtham's acceptance speech or announcement, I should say. And to my surprise, my name was thrown in there, and he mentioned my name. And from the response of the folks in the auditorium, apparently a lot of them listened to VCY America and knew who I am, because I was thinking it was going to be crickets, because everybody would be going, who did he just mention? But anyway, Tim was thanking us for interviewing him and talking about the issues of the day. When he mentioned my name again, I thought the crowd's going to go, who is that? But from the response of the crowd, a lot of them are VCY America listeners, apparently. Mike Lindell later said, wow, you must have quite the following in Wisconsin. They all knew who you were. And I said, yeah, well, that's the power of VCY America, folks. So we've been with, I said, I've been with them like 25 years. So if I don't have a few followers in Wisconsin, something's wrong. But that was, I don't think I've ever had been given a shout out by a guy announcing he's running for governor. So that was kind of a shock. I was sitting here listening to the speech myself. But that was fun to anchor that and to carry that news item on Saturday. So Representative Tim Ramtham announcing he's running for governor of Wisconsin. Of course, on this broadcast, we don't endorse candidates or parties, but it is a news item and we are reporting it. What I am also breaking for you today is that we've been talking, and we've even talked to Mike Lindell himself about it, and that is them debanking him, right? Well, I got a phone call this morning from Mike, and he said they've done it. They've debanked me. For those of you watching via television, there is the letter from Minnesota Bank and Trust, dated February 11th, sent via FedEx, and it says, Michael J. Lindell, based on compliance review and consistent with the terms stated in our deposit account agreement, the account referenced above will be closed effective the end of business on February 18th, 2022. And then goes on to say that any remaining collected balance in the account scheduled to be closed will be mailed to the address we have on file. So there you go, folks. They are debanking Mike Lindell. If you remember us covering this story, and this is being reported over at our friend Patty McMurray's website, 100% Fed Up, which we have linked at Worldview report.com. So if you go to worldviewreport.com, my aggregated news website where I just link the news, top news stories of the day, you'll see it right there, breaking. Mike Lindell gets unsigned letter from Minnesota Bank and Trust cowards, in quotes, informing him that his accounts have been closed. So here we go, the debanking of Mike Lindell. Remember, we played audio of one of the representatives talking to the comptroller for Mike, stating, oh, it might be a PR problem for us. It might be a PR problem. Really? That's interesting. I'd like to know who some of their other groups are that bank with them and what their political or religious persuasion may be. So that's interesting. Also in the news, of course, we know that the big news story over the weekend, and isn't it interesting that the mainstream media is not going to cover this, back at 100%news.com, and this again linked at worldviewreport.com, they knew former National Intelligence Director Barack Obama and Joe Biden were briefed on Hillary Clinton's dirty plan to falsely accuse Trump of ties to Russia. And now it's being reported, folks, that the former director of National Intelligence is stating that he knew. That Ratcliffe revealed Monday that John Brennan, the CIA director under President Barack Obama, told then Vice President Joe Biden in 2016 about the allegations Durham revealed recently that Clinton was trying to link Trump to Russia. Quote, what did John Brennan tell President Obama in the Oval Office in 2016? Fox News Bill Hemmer asked Ratcliffe during an interview Monday, quote, well, I can talk about this because this part has been declassified. He briefed President Obama and Vice President Biden and other members of the National Security Team about this specific intelligence that John Durham now has about a Hillary Clinton plan to falsely accuse and vilify Donald Trump with a scandal, and the discussion around that and whether or not it was good intelligence. In quote, according to the report, Ratcliffe met with Durham on more than one occasion and told him that he believed that multiple people could be indicted as a result of the phony Russian probe. And reality is President Trump is now speaking about this and saying that this is a capital offense. Can you believe the reports that Hillary Clinton's team hired someone to hack the White House and they did it? Now, this is supposed to be the most, if this report is true, we have every reason to believe that it is. If they could hack the most secure building in the world, supposedly, the White House, tell me they can't hack a voting machine sitting in a school gymnasium. If they can hack the White House, the most secure building in the world, you're telling me people can't, countries, individuals, groups, the deep state actors can't hack a voting machine sitting in a school gymnasium? Absolutely they can. So isn't it interesting? People are all willing to accept this story, as well as they should, apparently. But the idea of hacking an election, oh, even though the Democrats in 2016 put out documentaries, Hacking Democracy, Kill Chain, all saying, yeah, it's possible. But then when it goes their way and the election is stolen for a traitor in chief, Joe Biden, who is literally a pawn of the Chinese, according to Peter Schweitzer's research and book, that couldn't possibly happen. But here, Hillary Clinton's team apparently has now hired people to hack the White House during in fact, here is another link over at worldviewreport.com. Worldviewreport.com, the Gateway Pundit headline. I hope Donald Trump sues them for everything. For everything. This is the biggest scandal we've ever seen. This is coming from Maria Bartiromo, and she explodes over news Hillary Clinton camp paid to infiltrate Trump servers linked to Trump to Russia. Fox News. Yeah, well, here we go. Finally, Fox News is reporting on some news or actual news. Listen to this audio from her, Maria Bartiromo. No, they're not going to make me go to an ad first, are they? Well, let's just skip that right there. Thank you. All right, close that ad. Okay, here we go.
I hope Donald Trump sues them all for everything because they damaged his reputation throughout his 4 years in office, so much so that he was constantly on defense, constantly explaining that there was no collusion, constantly explaining why that he had to explain that he thought they were spying on him. All of this, again, every American should be outraged by this. Do you know how many foreign countries want to get into the White House's internet flow? How many adversaries out there want to get into the White House, the President of the United States' internet activity, and this tech executive was able to do that? What does that tell us about the national security of this country? What does that tell us of the power of the Clinton machine enabling to take down her political enemy for 4 years straight and damage his reputation? Sure, she lost the election, but this is so much bigger. This is the biggest scandal we have ever seen. Now we know for sure they tried to cheat in the 2016 election. They tried to cheat in the 2020 election behind the guise of COVID. We are getting into it this morning. This morning, oh, and by the way, I have to tell you, all weekend long, the White House leakers have been running around saying that Putin is going to invade Ukraine this Wednesday. So, is it all a ruse that they are really going to invade this Wednesday, or are they trying to create all of this drama because we were getting this Durham information and because we just saw 40-year highs on inflation? We're talking with the... I'll tell you.
Well, there you go. And she's exercised, and rightfully so. This is way bigger than Watergate. And Donald Trump has come out and said, I think this is a capital offense. And I saw a video of Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman Jim Jordan came out and said, Donald Trump is right on track. Can you imagine if President Trump or the Republican National Committee hired a team of people to hack the Obama White House or the O'Biden White House? Can you imagine? I mean, they're already talking about wanting to throw Donald Trump in prison, charge him with insurrection and subversion so he can't run for office according to the U.S. Constitution. What about Hillary? What do you call this when you're trying to overthrow a seated government, accuse someone of being a Russian spy, and then you pay someone to hack the White House? I mean, can you imagine? I think this is a capital crime, but even if it wasn't a capital crime, can you imagine how many years this would put people behind bars? How many people do you think will go to jail, folks? How many? And it will be some low-level people, right? Do you think it will be any big-name people go to prison over this? But my friends, anything like this ever linked to any kind of conservative or America First candidate, they would go right to the top, wouldn't they? We do have a two-tier justice system in America, and the former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI, Terry Turchi, is right when that former FBI high-ranking man up on the seventh floor said to us at our November town hall meetings, America is no longer under the rule of law. We are not under the rule of law. We are under might makes right. We are under whatever your political persuasion is, depending on how much money you have and who you are, they will determine what the law is, what the penalty is, what the judgment is. It's all fluid based on the pragmatism and utilitarianism of whoever is in power. We are not under the rule of law. We aren't. But let's watch and see what happens. Now, other breaking news before we go to break and come back with Leo Homan, and that is Tina Peters has now announced she is running for Secretary of State. Tina Peters, who we showed last week, having herself handcuffed by the feds and trying to take an iPad from her that purportedly wasn't even hers. Here's the press release, February 14, 2022, Grand Junction, Colorado. Current Mesa County Clerk and Gold Star mom Tina Peters is announcing today on Valentine's that she will seek the office of Secretary of State in Colorado, running against apparently a George Soros candidate, Jenna Griswold. It's not in dispute that faith in the integrity of our elections of both Democrat and Republican voters has been undermined. The heavy hand of progressive activists limiting public access to election results has irrefutably damaged the people's trust that we are truly free and self-governing. This happened under the direction of our current Secretary of State. So let's see how much they harass Tina Peters now. We'll be right back with Leo Homan. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Do you ever want to just throw these phones in the garbage? I've got a text over the name of our guest who's coming on so that we can make a phone graphic for her. Okay. There you go. I just sent it to you, Jill. All right, joining me now is, so as, before the break, we were reporting about Tina Peters, who the feds, FBI, busted down her door. Again, apparently the feds are under the control of George Soros types, and the Secretary of State of Colorado, Jenna Griswold, is reportedly a George Soros person. And so they've harassed her, the duly elected Mesa County Clerk of Colorado, for doing exactly what I'm told was the law, copying those files so that any updates would not destroy or delete the election of 2020. And of course, we now know that two other Colorado county clerks have reportedly done the same thing. So that makes three. And so they've been harassing Tina Peters like you can't believe. And she's running for Secretary of State in Colorado. So now that means we've got Tina Peters running for Secretary of State in Colorado. We have Mark Fincham, who has been all over this voter fraud, running for Secretary of State in Arizona. And we have Tim Rantham, who's been all over this voter fraud, running for Governor of Wisconsin. Of course, the issue the issue is, do they have a prayer if there's massive voter fraud? So, you know, it's interesting all these people are running, and you got to do something, right? If nothing else, you're out there and you're talking to the people and you're using your position of running in the media to get hopefully get out your message. But the question is, can any of them win a duly elected election? But again, there are states quickly working to try to rectify this problem with legislation if they can get it passed. Some has already been introduced in places like Arizona to try to stop the steal in 2022. So it's going to be a very interesting year. 2022 is very interesting year. Joining me now is Leo Holman. Leo, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
Well, as always, Leo, you've got another breaking article. We've got it linked to worldviewreport.com. You want to show that, Logan? If you go to worldviewreport.com, there it is, linked right to Leo. Globalists are coming for your cars, your cash, and your bodily integrity. And if they succeed, they will own everything, and you will be their slave in the coming digitalized federal system, leoholman.com. Tell me about this, Leo. Tell me about this article. And this is part one. You got part two coming out today at leoholman.com. Tell me about this, please.
Yeah. You slightly misread the title there. It's the coming digitized feudal system.
Oh, I said federal system. Sorry. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. Basically, what we're seeing being erected before our very eyes is everyone's talking about war in the Ukraine and whether Russia might violate the Ukraine's border, and China and Taiwan and all of these things that are taking our attention away from what's happening right under our noses. You go to fill up your gas tank, Brandon, and it's no coincidence that it's becoming more unaffordable by the day. It's no coincidence that when you go to the grocery store, your dollar is worth less every single day. We know the things that these globalist elites are trying to attack based on our everyday financial reality.
Yep.
They're making a war on cars and cash.
Yep.
Just not a coincidence that we're seeing our economy shifting into a hyperinflationary mode right now, and that the two things they're hitting hardest are the value of the dollar, because why? They want to destroy the dollar as the world's reserve currency. In order to debase the dollar, what do you do? You create, you have runaway federal spending, make it so that the dollar is being printed hand over fist so it becomes basically worthless, so that you could eventually replace it, probably with the digital yuan, which is Chinese new digital currency that they're working on.
Right.
But you're also seeing the war on vehicles, driver-operated, traditional gas-powered vehicles. The cost of a used car in this country, Brandon, used, not a new one. We're talking about cars now with 50, 75, 100,000 or more miles on them are getting 50% more. They're commanding 50% more in prices than they were a year ago. This is unbelievable. I bought a car 2 years ago with about 65,000 miles on it. It now has about 78,000 miles on it. I can get more for that car today than what I paid for it 2 years ago. And that is unprecedented in the U.S. economic system. Cars have always been what? A depreciating asset.
Yep.
They lose value over time, typically. For every mile you put on them and for every year that they become older, they lose value. Yet we're seeing the opposite scenario now, where it doesn't matter how much you drive it, it doesn't matter that it's a year older than it was last year, it's now worth more. This is not by accident. They want cars to become unaffordable by the average middle-class person, that you will have to be at least upper middle class or extremely wealthy in order to buy a car, and it will be what? Eventually, after all of the other cars are used up finally and end up in the junkyard, you will be restricted in your choices. You will have to be, you will choose between expensive and more expensive when it comes to these electric, autonomously driven cars. The motor vehicle industry is moving in that direction. They didn't ask us if that was the type of product we wanted. They just did it. Why? They're taking their cue from the federal government. Pete Buttigieg, who is a graduate of Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum's Young Global Leaders Program,
yep. 2019
graduate, he's fully indoctrinated in sustainability, the Agenda 2030, entire agenda to remove not just cash, paper cash, and replace that with digital money, but to replace traditional gas-fired cars with uber-expensive electric cars that are increasingly autonomous and will eventually be driving themselves.
Wow. Well, and let me ask you something, Leo. We also got a press release today from a friend of mine who's a PR guy. I mean, I have several friends that's what they, well, they weren't friends prior to our audience growing as rapidly as it has, but now I have friendships with a lot of public relations people that are constantly pitching a potential guest to me and press releases. And one of them I received today quotes the CEO of global manufacturer Phipps International, P-H-I-P-P-S. And what he said in the press release was, Trump stated that he thinks the situation is a tinderbox, and if forced into a mandate like in Canada, trucker protest in the U.S. could create a much worse situation. Regardless of opinions of the vaccine, everyone will suffer if our supply chain is crippled by an American equivalent of the Canadian protest, both with domestic U.S. goods and international goods that Phipps brings into the country. While the courts have put a stop for now on mandate for all truckers, there's only one in effect for any trucks that cross international borders, which can still cause major crisis to occur in the near future. The major point, Jake can talk about this, Jake Phipps, I guess, or whoever this guest is, maybe not Jake Phipps, whoever the guest is, oh, come on. No, it is Jake Phipps. Jake can talk about how international shipping could screech to a halt if truckers feel compelled to protest in the U.S. the way they have in Canada, and why all Americans need to be concerned about what will happen to all of the goods they rely on, both from outside and inside, if this occurs in the U.S. So the point I'm making is we have to be strategic, and I understand the whole concept of truckers and boycotting and stopping and putting things to a halt, but we have to be careful not to fall into their hands. And I have to wonder, when I read this press release today, if in some cases we might be doing exactly what the globalists want when we have these trucker convoys that shut down shipping. And at the end of the day, it's not really going to impact the globalists too much, but it sure is going to hurt the average American trying to buy goods at the grocery store and other places. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, that is exactly an issue that I've been thinking about as this trucker movement grows. These are good salt-of-the-earth people. I believe that the trucker protest started organically, completely organically. I can't see where they've been funded by any globalist entity, secretly, you know, motivated to create a scenario like you described, Brandon. But at the same time, there is that possibility that it could backfire. And I certainly hope that doesn't happen. It is using the power of the people in a way, because it's like calling a general strike. The only difference is that when the left uses that tactic and calls a general strike in order to influence policy, what happens? They have the complete support and complicity of the media to put forth their message and wear down the opposition until they cave in and their demands are met, right? But in this case, you have these poor truckers out there, these working class folks, who are not supported by any big union bosses, and they certainly don't have the support of the big media.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what you're saying, and I agree with, the propaganda war does not really, they're not going to win in the propaganda war, even though they have a lot of power in their numbers and in their ability to shut down society if they want, if their demands aren't met.
Indeed. And if we see patriots or America First people or even Blue Dog Democrats, or maybe even liberal Democrats who are truckers that are just fed up with this, and rightfully so, if, and it, again, it does seem as though it's just crossing party lines, because now the polls are showing, the latest survey I show, shows that Democrats now want Hillary Clinton questioned over all this. So the Democrats are now turning against Hillary Clinton. So it's now starting to become an issue of us versus them, the Americans versus the elite. And so parties in some degree within the American people are starting to disappear. A lot of people today, yeah, it's not any longer about are you a Republican, a Democrat, or independent, because a lot of the Americans are now simply saying, we're Americans and we're sick of the tyrants and the elites. So even a huge chunk of Democrats now want Hillary questioned. So I think in one, the Democrats have overplayed their hand, and I think a lot of Democrats are fed up. They're like, you know, there's one thing to be liberal, if you will. I think this is what a lot of them would say. You know, there's one thing to be liberal, or it's one thing to have some liberal social policies. There's another thing to be an absolute Marxist, and I'm not, or fascist, and I'm not for those two things. And so I think there's a lot of Democrats even that are like, So the point I'm making, though, is if we're not careful, they could collapse the trucking system, the infrastructure, and give the people currently in power the excuse, and the media would jump on board, to nationalize all of transportation. And you go look at the Communist Manifesto, nationalizing farming, which they already want to do. We've got the Rockefeller Reset the Table plan they have. Nationalize transportation. I mean, we create crisis for them with our protests. They could use it to nationalize stuff. Closing comment, Leo?
Absolutely. This is really going to be a battle of wills and a battle of propaganda. And we know whose side the media is on, but let's see where it all leads.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leo. His new article at leohoman.com, part one. He's posting part two today, leohoman.com. It's also linked with a bunch of other news stories at worldviewreport.com. We'll be back with former Pfizer employee Karen Kingston and a new guest. You're not going to believe what we're about to tell you. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Worldviewradio.com. A ton of new TV shows up at WVWTV.com. WVWTV.com. Tons of new TV shows up there for you to share with other folks. Again, we put out our radio shows and our TV shows for free for so many days as a ministry of Worldview Weekend Broadcast Network and WVW Foundation. And of course, you're listening to VCY America, and we've been working with them now since about 1995 when I first spoke at their one of their VCY rallies in 1995. And for Lindell TV folks and Frank Speech folks, if you're looking for a good Christian radio network, they have an app, they have a Roku channel. It is vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. We're going to be joined by Karen Kingston and a new guest, Cammie is her name, in just one second. But first, to set them up, let me play a video. It's about a six-minute video of various elites and scientists and experts, so-called, telling us how they can hack your human DNA, hack the DNA, and change who you are. This is transhumanism that we've been talking about, folks. This is transhumanism, hacking your DNA. And then we'll tell you how there are actually patents for some of these so-called vaccines that help to do this. Watch this.
Now, in the past, many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough. And nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon...
By the way, this is at the 50th annual meeting of the World Economic Forum in 2020. This is at the World Economic Forum in 2020 for radio, because there's you can't see the screen. Dr. Yuval Noah Harari. Okay? So here we go. World, this is at Klaus Schwab's. He's a top advisor, reportedly, to Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum on transhumanism. Here we go.
At least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people. We humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls. We are now hackable animals. Data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. And if indeed we succeed in hacking and engineering life, this will be not just the greatest revolution in the history of humanity. This will be the greatest revolution in biology since the very beginning of life 4 billion years ago. For 4 billion years, nothing fundamental changed in the basic rules of the game of life. All of life, for 4 billion years, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes, humans, all of life was subject to the laws of natural selection and to the laws of organic biochemistry. But this is now about to change. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds. The IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution. And at the same time, science may enable life, after being confined for 4 billion years to the limited realm of organic compounds, science may enable life to break out into the inorganic realm. So after 4 billion years of organic life shaped by natural selection, we are entering the era of inorganic life shaped by intelligent design. So does the data about my DNA, my brain, my body, my life, does it belong to me or to some corporation or to the government or perhaps to the human collective? Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and I have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over. Free will, that's over.
That's over.
Over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste, because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see, we have no chance. So let's do it.
Vaccine won't help us go
the
to the test, of course.
The vaccine will help us, of course. It will make things, you know, more manageable.
Surveillance. People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century, is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.
One of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
The difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing,
right.
Just as an example, it's you who are changed.
Yeah,
and of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. And offers certain kinds of possibilities that have to be careful about. You know, when you began to do that kind of gene editing, some people worry that you are changing what it means to be human.
That's the problem. And, of course, the new industrial revolution offers us many opportunities, but it raises many fold questions on the ethical, but even legal implications. And we have to be prepared for it. And that's what we want to do in Davos next year.
Talk about technology and how the ways it can be deployed, that contribute to growth rather than exacerbate unemployment. How will that implement itself?
It's a big question mark, because there is a fear that technology, robots, just to take one.
Yeah. You get productivity from machines.
Exactly. And it replaces maybe the workforce or jobs faster than we can replace them with new jobs. Not everybody can be a robot polisher and so on. So there will be new jobs.
Can you believe these folks? I mean, can you believe they're admitting this? A new era of control under the skin. They're openly admitting what they want to do. Joining me now is former Pfizer employee Karen Kingston, and a new guest, Cami Irwin, is joining us. Cami and Karen, thank you
Karen.
Guys for joining us. Hey, Karen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah. I haven't had my second cup of coffee yet, so hang on.
And, I've already had three.
Oh, my. And Cami, welcome to the broadcast. You're a first-time guest. Tell our audience who you are, please.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and thank you, Karen, for putting us all in contact. I am just a patriot of America, just a regular person who decided that after we lost our troops over in Afghanistan on August 26th, when we had 13 of them killed, when we were pulling out, I decided I didn't like how we received them coming back to this country. We didn't do enough for them. And so I decided to host a tribute to honor all 13 of them and their families here in Austin, Texas, out on the lake. And from there, I've just stayed super busy trying to promote this. And I haven't had enough time to keep doing everything, but I recently just started an organization to raise awareness for this, and I've contacted almost all of the families. Well, I've been in contact with most of them now, and just the grief they are going through and the questions they have about what went down over there. And, you know, it's been a sad journey, but I'm going to I created US 13 to help that and honor every one of those 13 members.
Excellent. And you have a website for that, Cammie?
Yes, actually, the website is being launched today. It is going to be us13.org, and it is what I've decided to do, just because shipping and supply of demand, everything is behind right now, and I'm launching a hat to honor each individual service member, and the one that we are launching today is for Staff Sergeant Hoover. And I'm in contact with his fiance, and I wanted to surprise all these families and show how much support there is in this amazing country for them and what they do for our freedom. So today, around 3 p.m. Central Time, the website will be getting launched, and I'm excited to share it with the world.
Awesome. Give the website one more time, please.
It is us13.org.
Great. Thank you, Cammie. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right. I wanted to bring her on real quick. Karen, oh, thank you for introducing us to her. Karen, let's go back to the video we just played. This is absolutely shocking video. This is the transhumanism. This is controlling us, as they said, through under the skin. I mean, can you believe what this guy, who is, I guess, a consultant to Klaus Schwab with transhumanism, can you believe what he's admitting? He just openly, they're just spilling their guts, aren't they, Karen?
Yeah, I mean, they're being, you know, they're coming off as a being in a place of power, obviously. And, you know, we've known about these globalists, these elites who think they are above humanity. And he just articulated that to us, Dr. Yuval Noah Harari. So we are at war. I mean, we are at a war. And this is as I mentioned when I was on your show Friday, this is the convergence of biotech and AI, which has been done in secret for the last three decades, and it's been used for an attack on humanity. So they are playing God, as Yuval was saying. This is, you know, you no longer have free will under God. He's like, we have free will now over you.
So we're telling our audience that this is not sci-fi and that it's just guys talking. This is actually technology they have. It's in the patents, correct?
Yeah, it's in the patents, and our government's national intelligence agencies have been funding this. You can find on the both DARPA and BARDA websites, you can find investments into nanotechnologies to override the entire circuitry of the brain. And in the patents for the vaccines, what they're calling vaccines now that are being deployed, it describes in great detail naming some of these technologies, from hydrogel to quantum dot to 3D print, so that the nanotechnologies can construct tissues. They can release various chemicals and chemicals of biowarfare. This is all in the patents, and it's also been funded by our government. So this has been going on for a long time, and you know, people are saying, well, this is so unbelievable. I mean, we know that there are enemies of our country that can get into our government, right, and work on behalf of an enemy state. This shouldn't be as shocking as I think people are being shocked by.
Absolutely. Karen, do you want to take calls?
Sure.
Let's take some calls. 1-800-347-9829. Your calls, your thoughts, your questions. 1-800-347-9829. right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. Look at my screen here real quick, because I looked up this Dr. Harari, and I was rather sure he's Jewish. And indeed, the Wikipedia page says he is an Israeli, went to the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, Jesus College, Oxford. And the reason I bring this up, folks, is you guys know that we're big supporters of the Jewish people. We read in Genesis, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. But we also read in the scriptures that the Jewish people, many of them are in unbelief, and they will make a pact with the Antichrist. And it is during the tribulation, if you believe in this eschatology, as I do, it is during the tribulation period that God judges them, and as he did in the Old Testament over and over. And it's through that judgment that they come to Yeshua, Messiah, and realize that he is the Savior. But the reality is they're going to make a pact with the Antichrist. So here we have an Israeli scientist working with the World Economic Forum. Even my Hasidic Jewish friend, Dr. Zev Zelenko, said last week that the Israeli government is finishing what the Nazis started, okay? You wonder how it is. And I was having a conversation with someone at dinner on Saturday night, and I said, how is it, what will it be that causes the whole world to turn against the Jews? Obviously, it's demonic, but there's got to be something else more than just that. And when you look at what Israel is doing and the people like this that are pushing these kind of things, there's going to be several things, I think, that cause the whole world to realize who's enslaving them or who is hurting them in some way. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But to those who say, well, look, there you go, House, you Zionist, you Christian Zionist House, who's behind this? The Jews. Well, some of them are. Some of them are Jews. Some of them are not. They're Gentiles. There are righteous Gentiles, and there are righteous Jews, and there are good Jews and bad Jews, and good Gentiles and bad Gentiles. But reality is, the fact that you actually have a Jewish scientist pushing this doesn't not only shock me, it, I think, fits in prophetically, because they're eventually going to make a peace treaty with the Antichrist, who's actually going to have a system by which no one can buy or sell. So don't be shocked by this. Joining me again is Karen Kingston before we go to the phone lines. Karen, our friend J.D. Rucker interviewed a Chinese scientist over the weekend. Tell us, I've been talking to J.D., I'm trying to get her on my show. You read the same report. Tell our audience about it, will you please?
Yeah, she interviewed Dr. Li Minyan. She's the scientist from China that defected the CCP, and she's been protected here. Or she's protected somewhere in the globe. And what she reported is that at the Olympics, the Chinese Communist Party plans on releasing another bioweapon for hemorrhagic fever, right? So that could be a Marburg, that could be an Ebola, that could be the Nipah virus, which I covered on your show, or it can be a combination of all those. And this would be a pandemic of fatal proportions, because these viruses have case fatality rates of up to 90%, some of these types of viruses. And hemorrhagic fever is you start bleeding, right? You have massive brain swelling, and you have bleeding from the eyes and the ears and whatnot. So it's not a joke, and we're not sharing this to scare people, but this is a threat. SARS-CoV-2 was never a real threat. All the documents, all the data that was published by EcoHealth Alliance showed it was not highly infectious. But these diseases are infectious because you bleed from the inside out and go into convulsions, and people through fluid transmission often infect one another. So at this point, there should be a mass quarantine on China, nobody going in or out of that country until we find out what's going on. And one of the other things that Dr. Li Minyan mentioned was that there was going to be a delayed onset of symptoms and death. So that could be accomplished by two ways. One, it could be the virus if they integrate a lot of the viral material from, like, the HIV virus, which has a delayed onset of severe symptoms, although there is an immediate onset of flu-like symptoms, and then you get very sick later. Or, as we talked about on your show with the patents have delivery systems, nanoparticle delivery systems, that can release a virus, a chemical, a biological agent, a therapy over a period of hours, days, months, or years. So if they're using the nanoparticle technology to inoculate people with this virus, and they can do that in an aerosol form, they can do it in the food or the water that they drink, or they could do it on, like, hand sanitizer, literally. And if it's encapsulated in a nanoparticle delivery system, then it could maybe not even be released in their bodies for a period of months or years. So at this point, if I was at executive power, I would quarantine China, nobody in or out until we figure out what's going on.
Wow, let's go to the phone lines. Dana in Wisconsin, or Washington State. Dana, line one. Thank you, Dana, for calling in.
Hi, Brannon. I just had a question for you. You played that video, Mr. Harari, and he states in there the death of free will, no more free will, no more free will. I just wanted to get your opinion as far as salvation goes. I mean, salvation is free will. Are they going to be able to, and would God tolerate it, be able to, tap into people that have had these injections, and do they really think they're going to stop their free will and keep them from accepting Christ rejecting God? Do you think it's they're going to be able to do it on a spiritual level, and would God tolerate that?
Yeah, great question. Okay, everything will be speculation on my part because I'm not sure how this is all going to work. But, of course, this is the great debate between the Calvinist and the non-Calvinist, depending on what brand of Calvinism you are. There are Calvinists like Dr. Tommy Ice and others that believe in man does have, they don't believe in limited atonement. So I don't want to put everybody in the same box. You have to talk to the Reformed people individually. But, of course, your hardcore folks would say man doesn't have a free will, and yet we see in the Scripture over and over, but you were not willing, you know. So I do believe in the need for the Holy Spirit to convict people of sin and such, but there is general revelation. That's why even Romans 1 says, they suppress the truth and unrighteousness, knowing the righteous judgments of God. Well, if their hearts are so darkened prior to being given over and they're dead like a rock spiritually, how would they even know what the righteous judgments of God are? So that's a whole show in itself. But yes, they are planning on basically doing some kind of electronic or chemical castration, I think, of the brain to stop people from thinking rationally. So maybe that has something to do with the fact that people who take the mark of the beast, that's it for them. They are agreeing to this, and it's over for them. But it's all speculation on my part. Paul, line three from Oklahoma. Paul, go right ahead.
Hey, Brannon, about your video and even kind of a little bit of what the last caller talked about, because I am a Calvinist, but I'm not a hyper-Calvinist,
right,
in the sense where one guy I actually recently talked to actually believes that the elect are already saved, even if they haven't been born yet, which I highly disagreed with him on that.
Right.
But just listening to what this guy said, when the moment he says that this is based on intelligent design, that immediately went back to what Satan told Adam and Eve in the garden. It's like, if you do this, you'll become like God.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's going on here. There's nothing new under the sun. And
you're absolutely right, Paul. And that's transhumanism. That's transhumanism. Man is God. Karen's website is MyFight. She spells it MyFight. M-I. MyFight.com. Karen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right, folks, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.